Welcome to the morning show on WRCO. We have the spotlight on the Richland School District today. Kerry Stoltz is here, Richland District Director of Marketing and Communications. We have Maggie May here, who is an alternate ed teacher, and Robin Dickman, Hive 7 through 12, and also Kim Sifkus, who is head of Partner School here in the Richland District. We'll talk about some of those alternative education opportunities, but we'll start with Kerry. She's kind of the ringleader.
My circus. It's my circus.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, good to see you.
You too. Yeah, summer's off to a great start. So we've seen you around at the athletic events and that kind of stuff there at the beginning of the summer. And now we're moving on to fall and winter and all those things good that come with summer sports prep. So
you graduated a good class of 2026.
We graduated a great class. It was the scholarship night was a raging success. Can't say enough good things. I think I saw on in the paper that the foundation gave over like $120,000 to our kids. I think the grand total is over $500,000 from all the different entities and scholarships that were there. So it was a really awesome night. If you ever want to feel just amazing about your community and the giving that happens in our community, come to scholarship night. It's a long program, which is just awesome, but it's really cool to see all the different organizations that are supporting our kids. And it's alumni organizations and families and civic organizations and just so many people that want to give to our kids. And that was it was my first one attending. And so it was a really neat experience. And you walk out of there just feeling like, oh, wow, our community really supports our kids.
The summer isn't really a summer of taking things off. I mean, things are happening every single day within the district, right?
Very much so. Especially this year, we have all the construction happening at the high school and the intermediate school. So intermediate school is kind of down to, I think there's just two people in there, the principal and his secretary, and they've been navigating like closed entrances, or you now have to go this way or that way, or you park here or you don't park there. At the high school, we're having a little bit of that too. My district parking lot is gone, so we're parking in the high school lot, kind of weaving our way through the building to get down to district office. If you wander over to the high school, you will see lots of big equipment, and there's always some interesting sounds coming out our windows, it seems. So yeah, a lot going on there. And then just the normal summer stuff. We've got a lot of kids who are doing things. The weight room, they're in there 4 days a week, starting very, very early. Some of those kids are there, I think at 5 a.m. they start showing up. So I myself am barely rolling out of bed at that time, but here these kids are lifting weights and getting after it. There's basketball leagues and volleyball leagues, and it's just, I know football's at camp right now, so it's just been awesome. Our kids really do not take the summer off, and there's so many of them who have summer jobs or you see in the community, and they're all just, we've great kids, great kids.
And you have Badger State representation this year too,
don't you? We do, yeah. The boys are there right now. I think the girls leave a little bit later, if I'm remembering correctly. Happened to see one of our boys is up for a position. I can't remember if it's parliamentarian or historian or something. So I'm hoping to get a great recap from them when they get back. I think they get back on Sunday from that. So always a neat experience for them to kind of see, you know, government in action and really get to be hands-on with that. We nominate kids every year, and so it's really neat to see the kids get to go and get to experience it. And they always come back with great ideas, especially around like politics and that kind of stuff and really how our government works. So neat experience for those kids, definitely.
I know you like to highlight different aspects of the school and the district and the good things that are going on. And why did you choose this topic this month?
Yeah, so alt ed is really something that is unique for our district and something that is maybe like misunderstood a little bit from, I would even say my generation. When I was in high school, there was kind of an alternative high school. And that was, for lack of a better term, like that was where the naughty kids went. That was where the kids who, you know, couldn't cut it or maybe weren't going to make it or something like that would go. And that's just not the case anymore. The more that we learn about our kids and the more that we learn about their learning style and what works best and really kind of trying to make education work for every student, I think we're kind of out of the mindset of, you know, one size fits all. And we just realize that it's not that way anymore. And so these guys are amazing and they're here to talk about their programs. And it is, it's so refreshing. Robin and I happened to be at the State Education Convention probably 2 years ago now, I think. And at the time she was a board member and I was just starting and I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, we have all these ideas around alternative ed. I don't know what that is. And I don't know how that feels or like, why are we doing this? And I just remember her giving me this great story about, you know, education used to be really personalized. And it was like a teacher coming into your home and like working with your kids. And while, you know, public education has been great for the masses, sometimes we forget that that the roots are back there and that sometimes we need to make these adjustments and that they really do work for our kids. And we heard it from our community too at the Hive Mind events. Like our community really supports us growing learners in the way they want to learn. And I mean, I myself, I'm a convert. I think it's great. And I just can't say enough good things about the alternative education programs we have going on in the Richland School District. I mean, our traditional ed is great too. I love those guys. And they do a fantastic job in building. And that works for a lot of students. But for the ones that it doesn't work for, we have those options now. And it's just, it's really great to see. And I know even, you know, you've said yourself you were maybe a troublemaker back in the day.
Oh, come on now.
No, never. We wouldn't say that. But even to just know that those options are here now when they weren't before, and to see kids get it or kids light up. I've worked with some of Kim's students before, and they're just fantastic kids, and they have these skill sets that even as an adult, you know, speaking to other adults or something like that, things that I would be nervous to do, and gosh, they just attack it, and oh, they have jobs and they're like doing things and they're really like supporting, contributing members of our community. And I just can't say enough good things about the work that these ladies do. And so it seemed like a great time to highlight it, especially if kids are they're in summer and loving summer and thinking, oh, I just don't know that I want to go back to traditional education. You don't have to. Now's the time. If you think one of these programs can work for you, we would love to welcome you with open arms and have you be a part of our community.
All right. Well, let's bring them on here. We'll meet the ladies. Maggie May is here. Maggie, give us a description kind of what you do and what your job entitles.
Yeah. So I'm one of the alternative education instructors, and I actually have the benefit of co-teaching with two other wonderful teachers, Chris Mulholland and Sonia Clarkson. And together we implement two different programs for high school students. And I'm going to say what we've been calling these programs, but we're working on some better names, so stay tuned on that. But we do the GEDO 2, the GED Option 2 program at the Richland Center High School, as well as the off-campus alternative education program.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about those.
Tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. So GEDO 2 is actually based on state statute, and different districts can implement this statute in a program that gets approved by the Wisconsin DPI. Actually, Richland Center has had this program for quite a while. I think maybe since around 2009. But a lot of people don't know about it, and there's been some misunderstandings about it. So this is designed for students who are at least 17 who are credit deficient. For whatever reason. Oftentimes, students have moved around to a lot of different districts or life things have happened where they get to that point and they're not on track to graduate. So this gives us a framework for helping utilize GED tests to earn some of those core credits towards graduation. And so these students that do it through our school district earn a regular Richland Center High School diploma, but we just utilize some other avenues for earning those core credits. And sometimes these students are on alternative schedules as well, so they're required to attend for 15 hours per week. Some students stay on for the whole, usually it's 3 hours in the morning. Some students stay on for the rest of the day and take additional courses. Some students leave after that 3 hours to go pursue work options in the community. So it gives a little bit of flexibility for those students as well.
This happens during the school year?
This
doesn't happen during the summer.
That is correct. This happens during the school year, and students can begin this program on a rolling basis. So it's really based on that need when we see a student maybe isn't on track to graduate, and we want to make sure that everyone is able to earn that high school diploma during their time with us.
What time do you determine that? Like what year in high school would you generally look at that?
We're determining that sophomore and junior. Well, we're looking at students the end of sophomore year, and always, I mean, for all of our students throughout the district, we're kind of monitoring as we go and trying to provide supports and interventions for students that aren't on track. But really, when students are getting close to turning 17, if it looks like they're not on track, that's when we would start talking about this program and informing them and their families about this option and sort of the pros and cons and what would be required, just to make sure we have plenty of time to get them through. Occasionally we've had students transfer into our district as seniors who are very behind, and so they're starting when they come, and we work really hard to get them through.
You avoid trying to get that, we used to call it the five-year plan, for lack of
correct
better terms.
Yeah. I think that this program and the state's intention with this program is to give some alternative options for students to show what they know, to avoid that five-year program situation, to get kids graduated and out and in work or post-secondary education. So we have just some more opportunities for them to earn credits through these various pathways.
Is it rewarding work for you?
Oh, it's great. I mean, the students are wonderful. We just, like Carrie said, we love all of our kids and have had wonderful experiences with the students and the families. And of course, I mentioned Chris and Sonia are wonderful co-workers as well. So I think we all just feel really lucky to be supported in supporting kids.
You work with the other programs as well?
We do. Sometimes there might be a partner student that might still be working on some of those hands-on and project-based skills at partner, but might need to explore some of these other options for earning those core credits for their diploma. Or I can talk a little bit about our other program, our off-campus program, but sometimes students will come to us on more of a short-term basis to get some intervention to boost some of those graduation requirements. So a lot of these, our other program that I work with and partner in Hive, as we sort of bring online more programs, we're able to find ways to collaborate with each other to make sure everyone's needs are met.
Do you work with virtual students as well, or is that?
Occasionally. Robin, through the Hive program, primarily works with virtual students. But sometimes those students, if we find that virtual just isn't a great fit for them, they'll come back in person and do one of our other alternative programs. So having sort of this wide variety of programs gives us a lot of flexibility to meet different students' needs if we find out something's not working for them and maybe direct them to one of our other programs that might be a better fit.
Robin, we've talked about it before, but maybe you could describe what Hive 7 through 12 is.
Sure. So it looks different than even when last time I was on, because as we get more students in, Hive is an individualized program. We want to make education look for the student what they want it to look like and what best meets their needs. So as we get more students in, it changes. And that's super exciting and fun, and it makes my job new every day. And that's one thing I love about it. But most kids work from home. That's why it's called home-based instructor facilitated. Virtual education is what Hive stands for. So most of them are working out of their home and doing their core work at home and even some of their electives. But the exciting thing that I've seen, excuse me, this year is that a lot of the students are out in the community or in different places getting credit doing non-traditional types of learning. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I have a student that works farmers markets all summer, and he harvests maple syrup and then, or maple sap, and then changes that into maple syrup and all different kinds of maple products. And it was really fun this week to see him at our local farmers market on Wednesday and buy some products from him and see everything he does. And he gets credit for that. That's a whole different type of learning process that he can get elective credit for, and credit for the working, the time he spends working at the farmers markets too. So not something I would have thought of, but something that a student brought to me. So interesting. That's one thing I love about Hive. So mm-hmm. that's, again, it's hard for me to explain what Hive exactly looks like, because all of our students are working in lots of different of their own interests and learning. That's kind of what homeschooling and home-based education is. You definitely get the cores. Those are mandated by the state. But then a lot of your electives, you can do your interests and maybe do a deep dive. Some students like to take the CNA course, and then they work as a CNA, or they can then also take a medical terminology course, and lots of different, and there's ways you can do that through youth apprenticeship, but Hive then provides another pathway for students to follow their interests as well as get those core courses.
As a teacher, you never stop learning either, do you?
No, right. That's super exciting. Yeah. I have learned a lot. You wouldn't believe how much smarter I am now than the last time we talked, because I've learned so much.
It wasn't that long ago either.
It wasn't even that long ago, exactly.
That's wonderful. So did this come about like more virtual learning, you know, after COVID? I mean, because you were kind of forced to learn that way, or has that been something that's been?
I think it's something that's been around for a long time. I think it got a lot more press, and maybe people heard of it more, and maybe it was more well known after COVID. Of it. And then, you know, COVID definitely polarized people, because I think some people hated that learning from home, and other people really thought like, oh, I would have never tried this, but what a good fit for my family. So yeah, I do think it got a lot more press, but actually learning from home is sort of what I told Carrie that's how it actually started. Before public education, people were teaching their kids at home, parents, or they were bringing in, if you had the means, you would bring in a governess, or you would bring in, I can't think of that old fashioned term, but somebody to teach your kids at home. So home-based learning has actually been around for a long time. So, and then kind of what we do at home at Hive has been around for a long time, because it's a lot of practical things or things that you need for life or business. And you're just learning those kind of at home or on the job with a mentor, or like more like an apprentice. I'm hoping to get one of my students in here, as you know, too. He's interested in broadcasting.
Oh, sure.
So
yeah.
That would be another way he could earn credit and find out if this is something he likes. I hope he will love it, but maybe he'll hate it. And that's a good learning experience too.
Definitely is. So what about internet? Because that's sometimes an issue.
Yes.
in our district here, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of my students do online school. So they learn from a Chromebook with a curriculum coming to them through the internet. But other students in Hive do more paper pencil type of learning. So we have both.
I mean, people having trouble getting internet.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it can be an issue, but I think it's getting better and better.
Good.
So I'm not really sure where you're
good,
going with
good
that.
To hear. Yeah. So everybody has the same opportunity, right?
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if parents are hearing this and maybe interested, what's the best way? I mean, can you try it for a little bit? And if it doesn't work, go back to another form?
You can. It is best if you give it at least a full quarter or even a semester to see, because it can be something to get used to. And I do think that is something to point out following Maggie's speech. Her little spiel is that both Kim Partner and Hive are optional programs. Anyone can apply and try to get into those. JITO 2 and Off-Campus Alt Ed are placement programs. So they are a wonderful option for students in our community, but you can't just choose to go to them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because the reason I say that is I've had students come to me and be like, I want to be in this program, and it's not Hive and it's not Partner. And I'm like, well, those aren't really choices. You get to those through an alternate pathway, a placement.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've learned about Partner School before. Kim is here. Kim, welcome back. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Good. You had a great year, it sounded like, with great participation this last year, didn't you?
Yes, we did. I'm learning every year. This was our third year, and we had 6 that graduated this year, and they're fantastic. You know, they're the reason why we are as successful as we are is because of them, so...
And it helps the workforce in the Richland Center area,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it's been great. I can't thank the community enough in regards to being open and willing to have, you know, our students come in and job shadow or work or volunteer. And they've really provided some great opportunities for them. And again, that's one of our basis, you know, for partner is seeing what they like. And so kind of like what Robin was talking about, you know, my job is to get them into what they're interested in. And if it's something that they like and they do for a week and they're like, nope, that's okay. That's great. Then they can figure out what else they might want to do and get other experiences and other opportunities. And it's been wonderful. Like I said, it's been great having so much support from the community.
Will there be more opportunities for students this coming school year?
Yes. My goal and my ongoing goal is to continue all, you know, to see how many, you know, opportunities and how many connections I can make with people in the community, businesses, different organizations. So, yep, that is definitely something that I continue to work on to make those connections.
Is it do you have to sell it to parents sometimes? Like, this is a way to go, or?
No, I think a lot of times, again, like we all said, sometimes people they just don't have the right idea of what it actually is. You know, partner school is definitely for those kids that are self-motivated, that are, you know, hard workers or wanting to do and find their own path. And so it's not for those, you know, a lot of times they're like, oh, you just have all the kids that are, you know, that can't handle or can't make it, you know, in the traditional, you know, education system. And it's my kids are the ones that they just need something different so that they can show what they know, you know, and it's amazing to watch them grow when you kind of give them more of, they're in the driver's seat, basically. So they can kind of say, hey, I'd like this. I'm interested in this. What can we do to build off of this? Or, hey, I'm interested in about four different things and I'm not sure. Can, you know, is that okay that we focus on those? So it's been great.
They say if you find something you like, you never work a day in your life.
Right.
And I think it's kind of like that with school, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you find something that excites you, maybe it doesn't seem so monotonous to go to school.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I would absolutely agree with you. You know, it's just a whole different way of looking at education. And I think sometimes people get really concerned on the testing and the, you know, the homework and the, you know, and it doesn't need to be like that necessarily. Like what the kids do and what they experience and what they're focusing on makes them more employable. It gives them those workplace communication skills that we work on, those employability skills, and just ways to be, you know, good members of society. So,
is there a waiting list for this year? For this?
Not
school?
At this point. Nope. We are so. If you are interested and would like to fill out an application, that's still open on the district website under Partner School. So yes, I would love to meet with parents and potential kids and talk about what the program is and if it's something that would be a great fit. Absolutely, we would love to have more kids.
You brought like the whole class last year when you
visited.
We brought
quite a few last year.
But maybe you can give people that are listening and may have missed that you know, kind of an idea, just kind of a few of the different avenues where these students are working outside of school.
Yep. So, you know, I have one that she is focused on cosmetology, like being a nail tech. So she's been at Creative Layers job shadowing for the last few years, and they've been wonderful having her there. So she's really focused on that area. So she's taken online courses for different cosmetology, you know, different areas of cosmetology. I have one. I have a few actually that are interested in childcare. So they've been working at one's working at Discovery Play School. I have some working at Sunshine and Giggles. And then they are looking at going into like Southwest Tech to the child care program. We did a tour there in the spring, So that's another one. I have another one who is interested in egg power. And so he's in youth apprenticeship. And so he's been working with a local farmer, doing mechanics, doing basically anything and everything that the farm entails. So it's a very broad, area in regards to what kids are interested in. I have them all over, which is great. Like, I love the fact that some are interested in art, some are interested in English, some are interested in dealing with, like, mental health. And then I have the kids that are interested in mechanics and woodworking. There's a plethora. There's so many areas that the kids are really wanting to focus on and explore, so...
And with all three of these programs, they can still be involved in extracurriculars and, yes. other things that are going on at the school as well, right?
Absolutely. Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great benefit. Everything at the Richland School District is open to HIVE students and partner students and alternative education students. They can be involved in clubs, sports. I had someone reach out to me this week, and if my daughter continues in HIVE, can she walk in graduation? Absolutely. We had 11 HIVE students graduate this mm-hmm. year. Another thing I wanted to say about HIVE, I was thinking when Kim was saying, is definitely don't think that alternative education is for naughty kids, like Carrie was saying, or kids who aren't as smart, or I know we've said they learn differently, but some of the HIVE students learn the same way, but they want to go crazy. I had a student earn 14 credits this year, in 1 year, because they just kept going and going. And I finished this class, can I start another class? Of course you can. So sometimes alternative education are for really bright students, really gifted students who maybe don't want to be confined by the time limits at school.
Overachievers, and
yes,
it sounds like.
Overachievers, that's right.
Yeah, very good. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about it after the break here on The Morning Show. We're talking about the Richland District and alternative education and a whole plethora of topics. We'll be back with more in a moment. Welcome back to The Morning Show. Carrie Stoltz is in the studio along with a bunch of friends here. We talked about alternative education. Are there some other areas that aren't represented here today in
yeah,
the studio?
There are. So we have the iThrive Academy, which is out at Rockbridge. That one, again, is a placement. But we have, I want to say, 9 students out there, and they actually go year-round. So they are in school right now, and their team is working with those kids. That's the Behavioral Academy for our younger students. And then the other one, at each building, we have what's called the RC program, which was new, I want to say, last year. And it is a small school educational environment is what it stands for. And really, it's kind of going back to that old kind of one-room schoolhouse sort of thing. So there's a group at the primary, group at the intermediate, and group at the high school. And it really is, I'm going to use Robin's words, it is a little more of a home environment at the school. So the kids are still coming to school, same hours, same everything. But they have one teacher and can work with a couple different grades. And it just is a very, no switching of classes, really. It's just more of a home base for some of those students. And they, it's a wonderful program. They really have had great success. It's maybe kids who are maybe overstimulated or something like that. And that one is something that you can ask to be a part of, if you feel like your student would really benefit from that. So, we have 3 teachers who kind of handle that at each of the buildings, and it's been really great to just kind of give that, maybe they're not looking to be a virtual student, but maybe they also don't love, the busyness of maybe the traditional environment. So just a bit more of a home base for those guys.
Interesting. Maggie, this is kind of the way education is going. And I really think the Richland District is in the forefront of that, kind of the leaders among teams and in schools in Southwest Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been so exciting to plug into the district in this way, because I think that the district is just really prioritizing not letting any students fall through the cracks. And the fact that we can all be here today talking about a variety of different programs, and sometimes we share students between our programs to make sure they're getting everything they need, just speaks to that priority for the district. And it's very exciting when I talk to friends and colleagues in other places, just talking about what the district is doing, people are very impressed with kind of the variety of options available for students.
How long have you been with the Richland District?
So I've only been with the Richland School District for, this is my second year. Last year I started again with co-teaching with Chris Mulholland in our off-campus alternative education program, which is in its second year. And this is designed for high school students who, for a variety of different reasons, just need to be in an outside of the high school building to be successful. And so last year we started at the public library with a small group of students. We really prioritize small groups, individualizing needs. We're prioritizing some community relationships and getting our students involved in the community more. And so when I saw that that was starting in Richland, I knew I wanted to be a part of it. I also work as a school psychologist in a couple different districts in the area, and just wanted to be a part of supporting students in ways that in that role I've seen needs for a long time.
Are you going to have a permanent spot at
the
school?
We hope so. That's the long-term plan. We're looking for we're hoping that it'll work out to have a permanent landing zone at the former UW-Richland campus. And so the Brewer Public Library have been just amazing partners for us in this program, but it will be nice to hopefully have our own space for those kiddos in the near future as well.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, as the summer goes on, we'll learn more about that. Robin? We want to talk a little bit more about Hive, and it's also for elementary students.
That's
as well,
correct.
Right?
We have a dedicated pre-K through 8th grade. So Amanda and I, Mrs. Luig, and I share the 6th through 8th graders. So because we don't have a teacher for that middle school group, we kind of share those groups. So wherever they fit best, especially 7th and 8th graders, and of course high schoolers as well, but that want to take a class in the building, because I'm local and I'm located in RCHS building for now until we get that new spot where we can all be together and maybe collab a little bit more. I will take any students that want to take like maybe art or band or choir or any class that's offered in the Richland High School. Students can come and take up to one for high schoolers because they're on the block schedule, or two per quarter for middle schoolers because they're not on the block schedule. So when I say that, 75% of your classes need to be that home-based education, but 25% of your classes can be in person in the building. Like I said, band, choir, art are very popular ones, but also some students take some of our tech classes. There's lots of possibilities. I mean, they could take a lab science if they wanted to, if you want that more hands-on lab. Any class you choose, any class that's there that has an opening is available to Hive students.
If I were a parent of a student, I might be thinking about concerns about socialization, but I mean, things like that would maybe solve that, right? You know,
absolutely. And they can get, but also Hive has monthly field trips, so we also provide ways for students to do some of that hands-on learning. They're all educational field trips, but they're also ways for students to connect and build relationships with Mrs. Luig and I, but also with each other, and also for parents to find ways to network with each other and share ideas. But personally, Phil, I think that the idea of home-based education not being a place kids are socialized is kind of a myth. Actually, my students are out in the community a lot, maybe even more. Maybe they don't necessarily have that socialization with their exact peer group. When you think that kids going into, like, say, second grade, they're with second graders all day. Someone in Hive, though, will be with people all day. They just won't all be second graders. Mm-hmm. They'll be working with adults. They'll be working with older students, younger students. They're out. They're socialized. It's just not necessarily with that same age group all the time.
I think that might be part of some of the stigma surrounding alternative education, though, right?
Definitely. But actually, I think it can be a benefit. A lot of students that are schooled at home actually have maybe better social skills because they can relate to people of all ages.
Yeah, very true. I had not thought about that.
Oh, well, it gets said, and then it just gets believed because it's said, you know, that home-based education makes kids have poor social skills. But I have never found that to be true. My own kids were schooled at home for several years, and boy, they seem pretty social to me. Sometimes too social.
And Kim, maybe some expansion for the partner school is that may come to be this year?
Yes, we are hoping, like I said, we would love to have some more kids. We're looking at maybe 25 to 30 is the goal in regards to it. And partner works, I mean, again, we have, everybody has an individualized learning plan. So not to look the same. Mm-hmm. So we have kids that come in, sometimes they would do the AM time. So from like 8 to 11:30, we have a PM time from 11:45, 12 o'clock to 3:15. But we also, again, because of the nature of the program, if I have a student that is like, I work from like 6 until noon, can I come in at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then do my class, you know, do my projects, do any of my classes, whatever I want to work on from, 12:30, 1 o'clock to 3:30? Absolutely. So it's nice to have that flexibility for the kids to be able to do that, and that's kind of the goal of it as well, is, if they're not, at partner, then the goal is that they're doing something, whether they're, volunteering, job shadowing, working in the community, doing maybe projects at home. And another, the beauty of it as well is that even in the summertime, the kids can earn credits. So most of the partner students will take their Chromebooks home with them because they can continue to do projects and keep, tabs on them, show their progress, put that in. We have an online platform called Headrush where they put all their projects into. And they can just keep documenting what they're doing. And it's great because, again, they're learning, and most kids are learning. You're learning all year long. It's not that you're just learning during this, school year. So this really gives them that opportunity to keep learning, and I think it kind of motivates them as well to want to keep exploring, and they're curious about things. And so it's been great in regards to that. But I would love to, yes, we're looking to hopefully have some more kids in. So
who helped you?
Sue Gondek is the paraprofessional, and probably reason why we can continue to do what we're doing. So she's great. The kids love her. She is supportive. She has some amazing ideas, and she kind of keeps everything going. She is running all the time because we provide transportation to and from where the kids are working, job shadowing, volunteering, and she is definitely the one that, keeps the schedule. So very appreciative of her. And like I said, definitely would not be the same without her. So
fascinating to learn about all of your programs. And if there are some parents listening and get some ideas, what's the best way? How should they contact you, Robin?
Well, for both Partner and Hive, if you go to the Richland School District website, at the top there's a menu that says Schools, and we both have a page that you can click on from there. And I think Partner as well as Hive have a place that you can click like Join or Interest Form, and that gets the student's name to us, and a lot of information so that we can reach back out and contact you and go from there.
Great. Anything you'd like to add today, Maggie, that we didn't ask you?
No, I'm just so happy to be a part of this team that's working really hard to serve a lot of different students.
Good deal. Carrie, anything that you have today yet for us?
I'm just really thankful to these ladies for being here and all of our teachers who are focusing on our alternative ed options. One thing we didn't talk about was a partner recently had an addition on their building, a deck, which was a like year-long project for the kids to pull the permits and do the designs and all that. And then Mr. Blair's tech ed class from the high school came in and helped build, like kind of pushed over the edge. So we have this great synergy between programs. Robin kind of talked about it with taking classes in the building. Yes, it's alternative education, but it's still being a Hornet is still part of the Richland School District. It's still it still is kind of this fabric that we're weaving in our community and with our schools and with our kids. And so it's really impressive. And I think those things will just keep expanding, that kind of intra-learning, where, you know, maybe kids are presenting their projects to their peers, or I don't know what it's going to look like a year or two even from now. It's to see the growth that's happened in the last 2 years as these programs have kind of come from idea to execution is really fantastic. And I can't even imagine where it's going to go. And I really hope our community sees that and sees that we really are offering unique learning opportunities that really do meet every kid where they are, and that that's the goal and something we're really striving hard to be a part of. And to see them work together and to see all of these wonderful ladies support our kids and have them be part of our district, we just are so thankful.
Building some great citizens, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what it's all about. Thanks for coming in today, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Phil.
We appreciate it. Good to see you again. And Kim, you'll probably be back with some of your students in the fall.
Yes, I'm sure we will be.
We look forward to it. Kim Siefke is joining us from Partner School, Robin Dickman from the Hive Program, and alternative education teacher Maggie May, along with Richland District Director of Marketing and Communications, Carrie Stoltz.